In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We want to make our prayer together, very united, even though we're in many different places today. Very united to the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and his intentions. To the Prelate of Opus Dei, the Father, and all his intentions. Today, as we direct ourselves to you, Lord, the whole world is brought together in a new kind of brotherhood. We really sense our connectedness with one another as this virus spreads from one person to another around the whole world. In the Church, we've always called this connectedness the communion of the saints, because we have always known that we can all harm each other, and on the other hand, we can also help each other in the whole world with our prayers, with our example of a holy life well lived, loving God and others. Our forced confinement in our homes has many advantages and disadvantages. One mother tells that she makes all her kids wear masks in the house, even though they're well, because otherwise they won't stop eating everything in the house. We all have the adventures these days, the adventures of living together, and with the help of Mary and Joseph, we can live these days with a lot of charity and joy and peace. Today is a great solemnity in the Church, and also an Opus Dei, the Feast of St. Joseph. St. Jose Maria, our founder, always had a great devotion to St. Joseph, his patron saint and universal patron of the Church. And as we say in the Mass today, Joseph was the prudent and faithful servant whom God chose as head of his household, the household of Nazareth, to love and protect and care for Jesus and Mary. And now, today, we all turn to him and ask him to protect our families and all those in need today, all those adversely affected by the COVID-19 virus. And we can pray for all those medical personnel who are in harm's way today. St. Joseph, your family needs your protection more than ever. And so we ask St. Joseph to intercede with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for us today. It's also a great day of joy for us in Opus Dei because it's the day in which we all, personally and freely, renew our dedication to God in the work. And I do that now, Lord, in your presence. Our dedication is to strive for holiness and apostolate in the middle of the world, in the middle of our ordinary work and daily life, to try to be another Christ, a leaven and a burning coal wherever we are, so that we bring the light and warmth of Jesus, your light and warmth, Lord, to every part of society. It's a great task. It's a holy mission. It's a great need. And it's also an imperative command of God to all the baptized. Today, we remember St. Joseph as a great model for us in Opus Dei because also he was an ordinary man in the middle of the world, a worker, a carpenter, who did his daily work with excellence and competence, offering it to you, Lord, seeing it as his way of praying throughout the day. Joseph stood up to life's challenges. He cared for his family with great tenderness and fidelity. As a matter of fact, there's not a single word of Joseph recorded in the scriptures. Yet his actions speak louder than words. He appears, he carries out his mission, and disappears. He summed up the spirit that St. Jose Maria wanted for us, to do and disappear so that only God shines forth. And we could ask you, Lord, that we might have that humility to carry out your work in the world and to disappear ourselves, to not let my pride get the better of me. At times, St. Jose Maria would say, sort of jokingly, that there are people in the world who do the work of three but make the noise of 3,000. And he said, but we in Opus Dei have to do the work of 3,000 but make the noise of three. And that was his motto, to do and disappear, to do all for the glory of God, so only God shines forth. So we ask you, Lord, help us have that same spirit that Joseph had, that St. Jose Maria wanted for us. So we work for you and not for our own glory. When John the 23rd closed the first session of the Vatican Council, Vatican II, he announced the name of St. Joseph was going to be included in the first Eucharistic prayer. At that time, a very important churchman called St. Jose Maria and said, "Congratulations. Listening to the Pope's announcement, I thought immediately of you and of how happy you'd be." And indeed, he said, "I was happy, for that conciliar gathering, which represented the whole church, brought together in the Holy Spirit, proclaimed the great supernatural value of St. Joseph's life. The value of an ordinary life of work done in God's presence and in total fulfillment of his will. Joseph lived a life of ordinary work, day after day, and he converted it into something amazingly holy. And in this, he's a model for all of us who work in the middle of the world and live with our families and rub our shoulders with everyone in ordinary life. We try to turn the prose, the ordinary prose of each day, into a heroic poem, something very special for God. Let's look for a moment now at the book of Exodus that tells a story of the patriarch Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He was sold into Egypt, as you remember, out of jealousy by his own brothers. And he became a slave in Egypt. But because of his wisdom and his talents, he rose up from being a slave to being the right-hand man of the Pharaoh. Enlightened by God, he warned the Pharaoh that a great famine would come upon the whole world. So they began to stockpile grain. When the famine came, people from far and wide came to Egypt for bread. When they approached Pharaoh asking for bread, he told them, "Go to Joseph. Ite ad Yosef," in Latin. This great patriarch Joseph then provided bread for the whole world at that time. St. Jose Maria loved that phrase, "Go to Joseph," and he used it as a prayer. He would often tell us, "Go to Joseph for all your needs," thinking of St. Joseph, who was foreshadowed in the patriarch Joseph. Today, I think especially of so many who cannot receive the bread of life on this great feast day. And it is with great sorrow I know that many of you cannot receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. We can say that we are again in a time of great famine, as the coronavirus has churches shut around the world, in the entire world almost. So many feel a great hunger for the Eucharist. It's like that time of famine. And in this time, I can hear St. Jose Maria telling us today, "Go to Joseph. He will protect you. He will protect his family. He will restore peace and strength and health. We can say, Joseph, right now, Joseph, bring us the bread of life for which we hunger. I urge you now, all here in the presence of God, as we try to pray, go to Joseph especially today, that he will hear us and intercede for us before God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But let's not forget that Jesus too hungers to be with us. He created the Eucharist so that he could be with us, stay with us, be in us as our strength and joy, as a pledge of eternal life, as a pledge of friendship with him forever. And certainly, Lord, you long to be united to us in the Holy Eucharist. And certainly this is a long Lent for you, not to be able to be with us today in the Eucharist, in these weeks, perhaps. How much you thirst for us, as you cried out on the cross, I thirst. But we remember that you never abandon your flock. If we turn to him now, if we turn to Jesus now, we know, Lord, that you will save your flock. You will hear us when we cry out to you. And so now we all can cry out in this time of prayer, Lord, save your people. Lord, help your people. Lord, give us the bread of life. In today's gospel, we have two options. Let me read the one about the child lost and found in the temple. Every year, the parents of Jesus used to go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up for the feast as usual. When they're on their way home after the feast, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem without his parents knowing it. They assumed he was with the caravan, and it was only after a day's journey that they went to look for him among their relations and acquaintances. When they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him everywhere. 3 days later, they found him in the temple, sitting among the doctors, listening to them, asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his intelligence and his replies. They were overcome when they saw him. And his mother said to him, My child, why have you done this to us? See how worried your father and I have been, looking for you. Why were you looking for me? He replied. Did you not know that I must be busy with my father's affairs? But they did not understand what he meant. He then went down with them and came to Nazareth and lived under their authority. In this scene, we can contemplate the suffering of Mary and Joseph when they are separated from you, Lord, for these 3 days. They understand what we suffer now, how they must have searched for you with great sorrow and many tears, as any parent would who lost a child for 3 days in a big city. Perhaps they thought the worst, perhaps they blamed themselves. But they continued to seek you in their hearts, with all their hearts. And in this too, we can now identify with Joseph. These days when most of us cannot receive him at Mass in the Eucharist, we too can search for you in our hearts, Lord, in our churches when they're open. We can seek you with all that fervor and all that eagerness of Mary and Joseph. All of us can live these days of forced confinement as we all live in our homes these days with our families. We can live these days, as St. Jose Maria said, growing on the inside. That's how he referred to his months of hiding in the Honduran legation during the Spanish Civil War, when his life was endangered by the mere fact of being a priest. They were months of forced inactivity and even starvation. but joyful days and busy days. He could not celebrate the Mass because of a lack of wine and bread, but he celebrated what he called dry Masses, reciting all the prayers of the Mass, but not doing the consecration. Their altar was a stack of suitcases. Everything was very primitive. We are more blessed. We can attend Mass with devotion, watching the Pope or another priest or bishop on television. I urge you to enter into those Masses, dressing well, perhaps putting out a crucifix in the living room, standing and sitting or kneeling as appropriate, and answering the prayers out loud. At the moment of communion, you can make a fervent spiritual communion. If we want, we can use the formula that St. Jose Maria learned when he was a child as he was making his first Holy Communion. I wish, my Lord, to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and the fervor of the saints. I remember hearing once that at a Mass on the feast day of San Jose Maria in Argentina, a priest was making announcements before the Mass, and he suggested that as a way to prepare, the people could recite out loud a spiritual communion. And he began the prayer, and before long, all 2,000 people there were saying it in unison out loud. That devotion, spread by St. Jose Maria, had reached far and wide. Joseph was a strong man, a hard-working man, when he married Mary, a young man. He was not afraid of life and its challenges. When he had to confront difficulties, such as fleeing into Egypt to protect Jesus from Herod, he responded with faith and vigor. All our lives, we too will need to confront challenges. And we ask you, Lord, for the strength now to confront those challenges as we all are confronting the challenges of these days. We need to learn to confront them with peace and with joy. Last month, Pope Francis addressed a gathering of priests in Rome, and he spoke about disappointment, discouragement, bitterness that can come in life, including the life of a priest. And he said these words, "Is it the Lord who has disappointed us? Or have we confused hope with our expectations, our own expectations? Indeed, Christian reality does not disappoint and does not fail. To hope is not to be convinced that things will improve, but rather that everything that happens has meaning in the light of Easter. But in order to hope in a Christian way, as St. Augustine explained to Proba, we have to live a life of nourishing prayer. That is where one learns to distinguish between expectations and hope. Perhaps as priests, we can sometimes be discouraged. Now, this relationship with God can cause profound bitterness. At times, it seems almost as if God does not respect the expectations of a fulfilled and abundant life which we had on the day of our ordination. Sometimes an unending adolescence does not help to transit from dreams to spes to real hope. What is the difference between expectation and hope? Expectation arises from spending our lives saving our lives. We struggle, seeking security, reward, advancement. When we receive what we want, we almost feel as though we will never die, that it will always be like this, because we are the reference point. Hope, on the other hand, is something that is born in the heart when one decides not to defend oneself anymore. Once I recognize my limitations, and that not everything begins and ends with me, I recognize the importance of having trust. In the spiritual combat, the Theatine priest Lorenzo Scupoli taught that the key to everything is in a dual and simultaneous movement to mistrust oneself and to confide, to trust in God. That's the end of the quote by the Pope. And we know that God is a good father. What he allows is for our good, and we trust him. We trust in you, Lord. His ways are mysterious, but profound and all wise, wiser than our ways. You, Lord, allow difficulties so that we leave our comfort zone and grow. We let go of our will and grab onto your will, and we grow. And God allows challenges so that we learn to let go of our selfishness and begin to love God and take responsibility for others, so that we aim not at a comfortable life here in this passing world, but at eternal glory in heaven. You, Lord, allow challenges so that we learn that we need to turn to you for strength, for wisdom, for help. And if at one moment we forget that we need you for absolutely everything, even for our very existence, we would be living with a great naivete and ignorance about reality. We exist out of your love for us, and we will one day pass away in order to enter into glory with you if we seek you in this life. The father, our prelate, wrote recently that happiness in life is not a question of worldly successes, but of giving love and receiving love. Again, St. Jose Maria said, happiness in life is not a question of having a comfortable life, but a heart in love. Lord, as we come to the end of this prayer and this feast day, we can go to St. Joseph again and ask him to intercede for us with you during this worldwide pandemic, to ask him to help us to embrace the challenges we face with joy and with peace and strength, knowing that many good things will come from this crisis. Lord, we ask you for the wisdom of all our people, our doctors, our leaders, our scientists, and our fellow citizens, so that we face and overcome this crisis. May we learn the lessons that you are trying to teach us, and learn to be prudent and faithful servants like Joseph, whom you placed to care for others in your world today. Lord, help us to look for opportunities these days for service to those around us, service to those in need, and there's no shortage of those people in need. Let's keep our eyes open to spot ways we can help. Let's not be content to be busy, but to reach out to help others, starting with those in our homes. These days can provide opportunities to deepen our friendships online or by phone, to connect with others who may be alone, to share experiences with everyone going through the same difficulties, or even to renew old friendships. But let's try to grow on the inside. Lord, help us grow on the inside, so that we come out of this crisis closer to you, more renewed spiritually, and ready to serve the others and make this world a better place. As we end, two aspirations from St. Jose Maria come to my mind. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, may I always be with you three. St. Jose Maria always liked to think of Joseph and Mary together. That's why he joined his name. In Spanish, the normal thing was Jose Maria was two separate words, and St. Jose Maria wanted to put them together. It was unusual, but it was a sign that he always saw Mary and Joseph together. And we ask you, Holy Family, to intercede for our family, the family of the Church, our family of Opus Dei, and our family spread throughout the world on this great feast days. If we turn to God, we will never be abandoned or lose the way. May God bless you, and may St. Jose Maria bless you. Amen. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.